It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. Dwight Silverman joins John C. Dvorak and Jolie Odell. We're going to talk about the big Apple announcement. What could the iPad 3 be? We'll also talk about AT&T's decision to throttle its customers and a whole lot more. This Week in Tech is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android.
Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 343, recorded March 4th, 2012. Small dog, big phone. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup, automatic, continuous, and unlimited backup for your computer files, only $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code TWIT to get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by Gazelle, the easy way to sell or recycle your used electronic gadgets from your home or office. Don't just sell it, Gazelle it. Gazelle your used gadgets today at Gazelle.com. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to Audible.com/TWIT2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID Audible_com. Welcome to TWiT. This Week in Tech, a look at the week's news as synopsized by this amazing cast of characters, starting with, to my right, Mr. John C. Dvorak of the channel Dvorak. You looked for your camera and then pointed at it. Very nicely done. He's a pro. This guy is a trained professional who has a box of OS 2.
Yes, look what you got me.
Look at that. You gave me
an OS 2.
Because you used to be a fanatic OS 2
fan. I was a big OS 2 promoter. I wrote a book on it.
You loved Warp. Yeah.
But the problem was, I went cold turkey against this product.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna find out how you feel about Windows 8, which is, I think, the reincarnation of OS 2 Warp.
Well, that's.
We'll talk about it in a second. Also here, why am I leaving out Jolie Odell? It's so great to have you back. Welcome, Jolie.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. You're writing. In fact, you're off to South by a couple of weeks.
Yes, I am.
Working for
VentureBeat.
VentureBeat still.
Mm-hmm.
I keep asking as if you just started working there.
I do.
As if you might move on.
Job hop, but no, I gave my notice at VentureBeat for 5 years from Monday or whatever.
So you're stuck there now
for the next five years until I retire.
Well, you can always have a job here anytime.
Thank you. We love
Jolie Odell. It's great to have
you.
Also here, another guy I'm crazy about, Mr. Dwight Silverman of the Houston Chronicle, blog.com.
Hello, Leo. How are you?
Great to see you. I'm well.
Happy to be here virtually.
Happy March. What is the weather like in Houston right now?
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's San Francisco gorgeous today. It was about 75 degrees, azure, cloudless skies. It's beautiful.
This is the time to be in Houston. Not summer, not winter.
Right, this day, right pretty much.
This day.
Other than today, it's actually the winter's been very mild.
Before the stinging army ants arrive,
the mosquitoes
and the skeeters.
The mosquitoes are terrible here. Yep, yep, yep.
So
even without a hurricane,
this was a massive week for tech news. Actually, this was an amazing week for tech news. Mobile World Congress going on in Barcelona. Some really interesting announcements there. Apple dropped the shoe on its announcement. They sent out invitations. Anybody going to that?
No.
No.
No, me neither. Mm-mm.
Well, you.
We have people
I'm not invited.
Going.
You have people, but
have
I.
People.
You're
we
not in. You. Wait a minute.
I'm never invited.
Let me get this straight.
Oh.
You probably have the biggest audience for anyone doing this sort of new media, period, in the business. You know about this stuff. You've always been friendly with Apple, and they have put you on a blacklist.
They blacklisted.
Well, didn't you try to live stream something from somewhere that
he was never told not to. He was never told not to. No one went up to him and said, sir, we would prefer you not live stream.
There's no way to talk about this without sounding whiny.
Are they gutless wonders? They couldn't come up.
So I'm letting John do this for me.
Did they have the guts to come up and tap you and just say, Mr. Laporte, I believe that's your name?
No, they didn't do anything.
And say, can you please stop live streaming?
In fact, the only thing that happened was...
They're kind of a one-strike company from what
I experienced. Oh, yeah, I struck.
So it was the original iPad announcement, and they weren't streaming it. And it kind of makes me mad that Apple refuses to stream this. They put the video out shortly thereafter. I think they're worried that something might untoward might happen and they can't control it or edit it out. In this case, although, you know, they've not.
When has that ever happened?
Well, remember the big fail when Steve had to kind of yell at people, turn off your phones, turn off your phones. They didn't edit that out of the stream.
Right, so there you go. So
they don't cut stuff out. Anyway, I'm not sure why they don't stream it. I wish they would because they let bloggers in and live blog it. So what we're kind of reduced to doing, in fact, it really isn't good to be in there because you can't get anything out except to type. So what we do is we sit here, and Tom Merritt, Sarah Lane, and I, we'll sit here 9:30 on Wednesday, a.m. Pacific, and we'll just watch the live blogs. And it's almost like one of those baseball games where you go, and he's running down.
Right.
We're reenacting.
From the 30s.
We have to reenact. It's silly. Reenact the keynote. But in any event, it's...
There's usually somebody bootlegging it.
That's right. And I was the guy. And
no, but there's been guys since.
I've never going. They've never invited me since.
Yeah, and they got the phone.
At past publications I've worked at, we would send a guy and they would sit there with a phone and we'd all be on
conference.
And you'd listen.
Yeah.
And we'd, that's how we would get out a great number of stories from the...
It's great.
It's a bad trick.
Great marketing because it gets people excited about it. It increases demand even for the news coming out of it. That's what it's all about, right?
I mean, if you want to know why they do it, why does a hot dog cost $20 at Disneyland? Because they can.
And it's
Apple
good.
Can.
It's good business.
Apple people, you care so much.
Right. It makes us care much.
I don't believe they're that expensive.
$20 at Disneyland? How much are they?
Think that's not.
I don't know.
And we're not ADD. Give me a break.
How much does a hot dog cost at Disneyland?
Leah, why
can't you just go and camp out in front of the Yerba Buena like you did and do something from there and not necessarily go in? I don't think anybody could stop you.
No, we could do that. I don't see any advantage to doing that.
Well, what would you do, like man on the street type? So if you were in there, what's it like?
So what we do, Jason Snell from Macworld, for instance, will be there. I don't know why Andy Inoko didn't get an invitation. He's at the Chicago Sun-Times.
He probably said one thing or looked at him cross-eyed.
And this is really the story about that is that Apple really controls access and I think only invites people who are going to give them positive
and
coverage.
Applaud on cue.
No, they don't want me sitting there or anybody sitting there going, You know, when you go to the Letterman show, same thing happens.
Well, they got a guy out in front.
They have a bunch of guys with clipboards. You're waiting in line to get your ticket. He spotted me. He said, it was amazing. He knew who I was.
You went on Letterman?
No, not to go on Letterman, to get in the audience.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean.
And it's the day before, and he said,
The day before?
Well, no, maybe it was a few hours before. It was early. He said, oh, Leo, we're going to give you special seats. Way in the back! Because it's the balcony, because they want the rubes who are going to be really excited to be there sitting in the front.
The
guys media people, they put you way in the balcony because they don't want you to...
Then they don't want to say, hey, look who's here. That's also distracting.
And in fact, Apple also, as you well know, puts in the front row, puts Apple employees. So there's always this...
Yeah, rooters.
So they look at it. They got it down. They know what they're doing. iPad, will it be 3? Will it be HD? We don't even know what it'll be called. There's the presumption iPad 3, but I think it could be called the iPad HD because we will have a Retina display, I'm sure.
You know, I think with the iPhone 4S happening,
look at that screen.
That event.
Look how that looks.
I think it's not a presumption. It's an assumption to say that anybody really knows.
No one knows.
I mean, you've got DigiTimes sources and the supply chain saying it's going to be a 7 to 8 inch iPad and everyone's talking about the display or the photos or whatever. Can we just say we don't know?
But here's a fun game.
Nobody knows.
Let's play.
But we don't make money if we say we don't know.
Right.
Make money if we say
let's play the fun game because we will know in 3 days.
Okay.
Predict. What do you think Apple will announce? Let's get the scorecards out, everybody. Let's write this down.
I think that they're decided.
We're all going to say
the same
thing.
They're going to shutter the company and distribute the $100 billion to the shareholders.
Wow. Wow.
The surprise announcement.
That would be huge.
The Dell solution.
Just cash in other words. Well, sometimes if you're in a casino, that's a good idea.
Now, if they're not going to do that, I would suspect it's going to be probably not as grandiose as everyone expects.
That's the Jolie O'Dell theory. It'll be a 4X.
That's what they always do. They always overpromise, or they don't overpromise. They let the public overpromise, and then they underdeliver, as if they're doing more than you would have expected.
Right.
And so it'll be I think it's going to be called the iPad 3. Since they didn't go out of the numbering scheme for the iPhone, and they're up to 4, there's no reason.
Yes, they did. There was the iPhone 3G, not 3.
What about the iPhone? Was there an
iPhone 3GS? Then the iPhone 4, was in fact a 4.
But the number was always 4S. In there. So it would have to be the iPad 3 HD, but it's not going to be the iPad HD.
All right, go ahead. That's good. You're getting to do your predictions. Go ahead.
That's it. And then they're going to
Retina display?
It's going to be sub-retina.
Sub-retina.
But it's going to be higher resolution than this one. And it will have...
Better camera?
It'll have a better camera for sure.
Yeah.
And it will have a port that will surprise us all.
A LaPort? port?
A LaPort.
That would surprise me. I'd sue the sons of...
It's going to have a port that nobody expected.
Really? Do you have any idea what this port will be?
It'll be that display thing, whatever that is.
Oh, a mini display port? That would be interesting if they did that.
Maybe.
We do have video. This just out of China. Let me see if I can put this video up here. This is purportedly direct out of China video of the new iPad 3. Let's take a look. Look at that. It's edge to edge. No bezel.
Oh, this is something that they phonied up.
No. This is absolutely real.
I like this, but this is the one that hooks.
It's entirely fake.
Yeah, but watch this. Watch this.
Look at this.
Here it comes.
The magnet. Zip. And it makes it one big screen. Now watch. It gets even better.
I'm not buying this.
Turn it sideways. Watch this. First of all, the magnets hold it. Okay. Beautiful. Goes sideways. What happens? Let's see. Okay, now we're playing football.
This is both fiction and pornography.
Now watch this. Watching. Oh my God, the controls, they're projected at the sides of the screen.
and people believe this. That's what gets me.
Nobody believes this. It's obviously fake, but
it's quite
boy.
Good, though. This would be, yeah. If you they do, I'm buying two.
Look at that. Yeah. It's holographic. They're actually above
the screen.
Look, there's the goalpost.
And then there's a bowling alley in there, too.
Can you roll it up and put it in your purse with your tiny dog?
That's a pretty amazing video there.
Silly.
They're 3D animators. Obviously, that's fake. So what do you think, Jolie Odell? What is your prediction? Let's get you on the Oscar ballot.
That thing we just saw right there.
Yeah, that.
Yep. No, you know, I don't have one. I'm not an Apple reporter. I don't use Apple products.
You recuse yourself.
I can't make a prediction. I don't have my magic eight ball with me.
She doesn't care is what she's trying to say.
Also,
I can't make a prediction. I don't know.
Well, I would like to. I mean, I do often make predictions, you know, and
I pride
myself on, as a woman, being always right. Uh-huh. So if I know I'm probably not going to be right, I would hesitate to make a prediction.
Smart woman.
Yes.
Why predict if you can't know? Dwight Silverman, go ahead. Let's see how smart a woman Dwight is.
Dwight's not getting a word in edgewise.
How smart a woman.
You know, when I was in college, I was a music critic for the Daily Text, and I wrote a column predicting that disco was dead, and then a few months later, Saturday Night Fever came out.
I'm
not really good at...
Well,
I'm
you were just
really
a little early.
Yes. Yeah. So I like the Retina display, or at least the double display, the 2048. Display, and I like the faster processor rumor, and I like the I was liking the LTE rumor, but I'm kind of feeling less good about that. I don't think there's going to be LTE in it. I think we have a store here in Houston, a new Apple store that's going to open on the 16th, and they moved it up from the 17th. And my suspicion is they did that so they could start selling iPad 3s on that day. So I think it's going to go on sale on the 16th.
That's got to be it.
And, I have some sources who are pretty good, I think, on this one. And I would have to say that it is I like John's port idea. There was a rumor out there about a smaller mini dock. That the 30-pin dock is kind of so old and clunky technology. I think Apple's about due to update it, so I could see that coming as well.
All right, I'm going to tell you the answer. You guys obviously
the answer.
Well, I have one prediction.
Yes, dear.
I do have one, and that is if you just follow the money, you will see that Apple is kind of seeing a lot of heat, no pun intended, from Kindle Fire and all those other sub iPad tablet hybrids. I think that they are going to do something to make some sort of iPad cheaper. I don't know if it's going to be a smaller one or a downgraded
7-incher.
iPad 2.
No, they'll never do a 7-incher.
Or a dumb version of the iPad 2.
I don't even think they have to do that.
They are going to make something in the $200 to $300 range.
Well, that's
too low.
I
200 to 300.
Yeah. 3 to 4.
You think 3 to 4?
Yeah, because they're Apple. They
well,
can charge more.
Well, that's still not.
No, they're not going after the Kindle, but they want to provide something that's lower cost. I think they'll take the existing iPad 2, reduce it to $350 to $400. That's a significant reduction.
I still don't think it would cut into
$299.
They're not trying to beat the Kindle.
$299 is a good price.
It's the people who would pay $299.
That's what Knox guy thinks, and I think he's right.
All right, I'm going to tell you all.
I like the $299.
I have put on my Steve Jobs thinking cap. There will be a Retina display. It will be 2048 by 1536. That's 2x each way. And the reason they do that is so it scales well. That's what they did with the iPhone 4. It's what they'll do with the iPad. I predict it'll be called the HD, not the 3, because they want to really emphasize this HD. Now, remember, Apple for a long time said, it's on a screen that size, 1024, 768, it's fine. 720p is fine. That's HD. They're going to completely reverse that story and say, oh, no, you've got to have 1080p, and we've got it. They're going to push this HD. They will announce a new Apple TV HD as well and the availability of 1080p content in the iTunes store across the board. That's going to be a big push for Apple. So I think they'll call it the iPad HD. I do believe it'll have an 8-megapixel iPhone 4S-style camera in it. I'm interested to see if they put Siri in it. I think they might. Depends on whether their Siri servers can hold up. They haven't been doing very well lately. They will not do LTE. You're absolutely right, Dwight, for several reasons, the international market being one. It's really not well penetrated in the U.S., and it really cuts back on battery life and requires a different chip than
the cheap
Qualcomm chip that they're using. So I don't think we'll see LTE this time around.
Except the one but on that.
I know what you're going to say. Verizon.
Verizon, also the fact that if they're going to have 1080p content, they may want to do LTE in order to deliver that, because LTE can give you faster speeds than a lot of home broadband connections that Wi-Fi is connected to.
Good point.
So that's one possibility for LTE.
There's also the fact that Verizon said, we're not going to sell any more stuff that doesn't have LTE. But that might have been a little saber-rattling. I don't think they turn away the iPad.
So how did you combine all these?
I'm not done. No extra ports, exactly the same. Some speculation there wouldn't be a home button. That's BS. There will always be a home button. And I predict it will be available for the exact same price as existing iPads. They'll cut the iPad 2 price by about $100-$150. And finally, and this is the shocker.
Just by the way, it contradicts everyone who says it's going to be jacked up a little bit.
They're wrong. And here's the shocker. And I hope you're writing this down, kids, because we'll know on Wednesday, and I'm going to be right. It will be available Friday, March 9th. Ta-da. I'm done.
I don't think it'll be available.
So you did dream this up last night while you were snoring. I mean, this is something you've been putting together for a while.
I've been thinking about it.
So
Leo, you know why?
I suspect inside information.
I have a little inside information.
No. That's not a prediction then.
That says it'll be available Friday, which is actually very good news. March 9th, because that's right. That's like then a couple of days later. And there's a good reason for that. They don't want to cannibalize sales of the iPad 2 for any longer than that.
The reason they're going to wait for 10 days is because they have to get it into the hands of Mossberg and Pogue.
Already and there.
All the shills have it already.
Already there, guaranteed.
So do you think that the
you
did
think
one of
Mossberg
the shills
doesn't already have one?
No, not yet. They don't give them to him till after the launch announcement. Then they give it to him.
I'd be willing to bet that day and date, they will have a review in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, USA Today, not in the Houston Chronicle, in the Chicago Sun-Times, not on ChannelDvorak.com, and definitely not on Twitter. All right,
it's
enough.
It's not important. You know, everyone makes a big deal about being the first out of the shoot. I'd rather have a good, thorough review than a first review by some guy who's obviously been compromised in the process.
Exactly. Ars Technica, I always wait. John Siracusa does great reviews online. They're OS X. They're very good, I think, in their long-form reviews. Andy Inaka will do a very good long-form review a week or two later as well. That's the big story. We're going to take a break, come back, because the other big story is, of course, Windows 8. Oddly enough, at Mobile World Congress, Microsoft shipped the consumer preview of Windows 8. And I think it's great, but John seems to agree. So I only think it's great because I can. Would you like something, or is there a bug in your chowder? Oh, okay.
Thank you. Sorry.
There you go. That's a good fiance.
The bug.
He is kind.
You sure that wasn't from the HP? Buggy product? No.
You're a bad man, John.
Just keep on using.
Smoke them if you got them, everybody. I want to say hello to our good friends at Carbonite.com. Backup done right. What does that mean? I say it all the time. It's very simple. In my opinion, any backup solution has to be automatic. You can't have to think about it. It has to happen all the time, because if it only backs up once a week on a schedule, what happens in the middle of the week when you lose everything? You've lost days worth of work. Nope. Continuous backup. What else would I want to see? I'd want to see it encrypted so nobody can see it. Also, the transmission should be SSL, right? Yeah. Should go to the cloud, not next to my computer. It's good to have a backup next to your computer, but, you know, if a fire, flood, somebody breaks and steals everything, you can't have it just sitting there. You want it somewhere safe in the cloud. That's what Carbonite does, and the best of all is they do that at a really, really low price. I don't think anybody can give you a better price than Carbonite. Everything on your internal drive for less than $5 a month, $59 a year. They also have plans for multiple drives, external drives, multiple computers, small businesses. Visit Carbonite.com and take a look. And then when you decide you want to give it a try, there it is right there. You see, they try the home free or the business free. You get it free for 15 days, which is usually enough for that first backup. And you don't even need a credit card. You just need the offer code TWIT. Right there where it says offer code, T-W-I-T. Just do that. 15 days of Carbonite. I like a company that believes in itself well enough to say, hey, try it free. We're not even going to get your credit card. Just give it a shot. And if you like it, we know you'll come back. Besides, if you decide to buy after the two-week trial, use TWIT again. You'll get 14 months for the price of 12. That is a very, very good deal. Carbonite. You got to back it up to get it back. Do it right. Carbonite. Yeah, as Kane says, with a new EcoBoost engine. Kane's got it all mushed together in his mind. Windows 8. First of all, I wish I had it on this machine. Have you installed it
no,
on anything?
No, I have not yet.
I have.
I put it on my machine in the other room, and I have it at home, but I don't have it on a machine here, so I can't show you. But if you've seen the Metro interface on a Windows phone, if you've seen the developer preview they released a few months ago, it looks pretty much the same. Big tiles.
Looks the same.
No start button. It's a start screen.
Yeah, but you can still find the little thing if you dig around.
You can go to the desktop. Well, no, there's still, even on the desktop, there's no start button, but you can go down and hover, and you can still, you know, many of the features that people who are used to Windows 7 will probably be able to find. There's still a run command. There's still a command line. There's a console, you know, a system management console. All those things under the hood. But really, they're focused on this tablet interface, the Metro interface. I know John's going to say something. So let's go this way this time and let Dwight start with this.
All right.
What do you think?
Well, you're right. It's very much like the developer preview, and it's clearly Microsoft trying to make the tablet environment and the desktop environment cohesive so you could move back and forth between one and the two of them. One of the frustrating things I found about using it is that it's kind of jarring going back and forth between Metro and the traditional desktop. You know, your legacy apps have to run on the traditional desktop, and they have some interesting apps in Metro. And they do this kind of shift thing that looks a lot like the iPad when it changes apps. You know, things kind of slide in front of each other. And it's jarring going back and forth. Maybe as you get used to it and you use it more. But looking at everyday users who are loath to change, and some of them who are just now gotten used to the Windows 7 changes from Windows XP, I think this is going to be really hard for a lot of everyday users to take initially, unless they have a tablet. You know, the thing is that it's so tablet oriented. I want Microsoft to get us get reviewers tablets with this on it, so we can see what that's really like.
Yeah. You know, we actually did a review of Windows 8 on a tablet, and it was snappy. It was very responsive, beautiful, easy to use, intuitive. And that Metro interface is what we've been loving about the new phones from Microsoft. It's just gorgeous. But it is very different from any Windows experience that's been thrown out so far. And I'm wondering if your normal consumer is going to be able to handle it. But it's gorgeous.
But you're a Windows user.
Yes, I am.
Will you go to Windows 8 when it comes out? I mean, would
yes,
you?
I will.
If you weren't a journalist, you would.
I will anyhow.
You would
yeah.
anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not known how much it's going to cost. They say this year, probably late summer. We don't know for sure. Although it feels pretty ready. I haven't been able to crash it. I've been using it for several days now. It's been very, as you say, speedy, snappy, reliable. It feels done or close to it. My concern, and John, I'd love to get your thought, but my concern when we had this conversation when Windows 8 developer preview came out, and I agreed with you. I thought you cannot make one interface to rule them all, and it's a mistake to take the tablet metaphor and put it on the desktop. I have to say, after having used this consumer preview for a while, I'm going to have to modify that. I think it's not bad. I like it, in fact.
Why?
A couple of things. First of all, if you're a new user, and a lot of people now are going to come to computing from their phones, right? So for those people...
By the way, I dispute that
You don't think so?
I think everyone's got a computer, and I don't think that somebody's going to get a smartphone and say, gosh, all these years, I haven't been using a computer, but now that I've got this phone, I'm going to get a computer. I just think it's saturated.
There's a whole generation growing up, though.
They've been raised with a computer since they're little kids.
Well, they've been...
And they've been using that Linux.
Right. I mean, 16-year-olds, yeah. But, I mean, there's kids, 3-year-olds who are using tablets and will be tablet. There'll be some tablet, maybe.
Well, they're sitting on their parents' laps playing with laptops and playing with computer games as well.
But more tablets.
I'm not buying into this idea that we have a bunch of people that are idiots out there.
I can let that go. I do think that for a lot of people, a tablet interface just is a better interface. I think that the tiles are going to be very intuitive for a lot of people. Those of us who use a desktop will be able to get to it. I'm not sure I agree with Dwight that it's confusing.
Not confusing, but jarring.
I think the word, the better word is schizophrenic.
Well, that was my initial concern. I feel like it's a little bit more unified than I thought it was going to be. I feel pretty comfortable with it.
When you hit that, I would stay on the desktop. I very rarely go to the tiles thing.
Well, there you go.
So I'm fine.
So it gives you that option.
But then I'm thinking, what do I need this for with these tiles?
Right.
The key will be what developers do with it. One of the most interesting apps that's available in the market, which is all free right now, look at the USA Today app. That is a really cool application that takes advantage of the tiles and meshes well with media. You know, it's very photo oriented. You can get to stories. The difficult thing is when you get to a story, you have to scroll sideways to read it. And the text is big, and on a traditional monitor, it's a little odd, but, it will depend on what developers end
you
up
have
doing.
To do, oh, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You have to do side to side scrolling.
There's a lot of that. But I agree, on a mouse, it's very weird to do that. I have to say, though, it's interesting. I was, for instance, one of the things I don't like, and Apple's doing this too, is these new full screen apps. But I think for most users, they don't do the multitasking that we grew up with, John, with a Windows interface with one window open here, another window open there, your browser.
I think
a lot of users are very full screen focused.
We're commenting on your probably less than tech massive Jennifer.
Right.
Who you yourself said has millions of windows open, and you have to go close her windows
But that wouldn't be an issue if it were all full screen. It's because she doesn't know their windows. She doesn't know their apps. She's a really good example of the truth is that I think most users do one thing at a time.
Well, generally.
Yeah.
Because you can't really do two things at once.
And so why not have a full window open? It's less confusing. It's all there. It's very intuitive, very easy to use. I think that they took a chance. They said, we're going to reimagine Windows. And they did.
So the great irony here is no more Windows. I mean, this obviously trending in that direction.
Yeah.
So we go to like a screens that are 1900 by 1080.
Right, with one
the
big
most,
screen.
most massive amount of right. real estate we could ever imagine. And it's going to be full screens all the time. It's going to look like this.
This is what I do, though. It's not idiotic. This is actually a very natural way to work in OS X line.
I guess if you're really, you're losing your eyesight, I guess it's cool.
I'm an old man.
So Leo, can I go off on a little tangent?
Yes, please. Yeah.
So one of my favorite devices to use on my Mac is the Magic Touchpad. You know, the oversized Apple Touchpad that is used.
Oh, he's the guy.
So forth.
No, I'm using it right now. Oh, and I use the Magic, but I'm using it my laptop touchpad very much the same way.
So as I've been playing with Windows 8 on a traditional desktop with a mouse, I've been thinking I would love something like the Magic Touchpad large.
It begs
and
for
that fluid. But the problem is that no Windows PC manufacturer has yet made a trackpad that's as fluid as Apple's. And if someone can make something that is big like this for use and that works as well as the Magic Touchpad for a Windows 8 PC, I think they'd have a killer product, and it would make Windows 8 work really well on a traditional desktop.
Yeah,
what
that's
I'm seeing,
I think,
more
a key.
Of, oh, pardon me. No, like in the Microsoft Store and whatnot, I'm seeing more people focusing on here. Let's take a big glossy tablet and just hook that into a keyboard for when you need it. And I think.
That's
Windows 8 experience is really focused on that.
Yeah.
And I think, there's we were saying earlier, I believe it was my friend John, noting that, or was it you, Leo, saying that taking the desktop experience to tablets to the phone and making one OS for all is kind of impossible, but it's such a trend. I mean, Google is trying to do that
right.
with, you know.
Chrome. Yeah, Chrome.
Well, with Chrome and also with Ice Cream Sandwich, their right. new mobile operating
that's right.
system that's supposed to work on TVs and tablets and phones
everything.
And who knows, maybe and laptops.
I had severe misgivings. I thought, that's crazy. Why do that? Why not create an operating system
so
that speaks
easier for developers.
Natively? And you're right. It's easier for developers, and
yeah.
it may be easier for users who do now go from device to device. They use
yeah.
a phone. They use a desktop. They might use a television.
And well, and they go from, you know, the console, their gaming console, to their mobile gaming
right.
device, and I think... consumers, once they get used to the idea that they can do that, they'll begin to expect that. So you need to have the operating system and the browsers and all that stuff ready to sync from device to device.
And the thing that reassures me is that there's always going to be Linux. And so if for those of us who still live in the command line and want multiple,
Linux
you're going to be able to do
that.
Linux
has not been the command line operating system
Linux
for years.
Linux is just as pretty, isn't it?
It can be, unfortunately. Ubuntu
beautiful.
Is moving. The irony is Ubuntu Linux is moving towards its tablet interface as well. However.
It's a trend.
There will always be geeky Linux with multiple windows and a command line. And I think that that's good. That means that for those of us who like that and want it, who will increasingly look like old farts... we'll be able to get that. But I think the future, I hate to say it because...
Yes, but you say it anyway.
Saying I was
you?
Wrong. Well, it's saying I was
it's
wrong.
It's these big, dumb, what, easy
you're
screens.
Wrong about
big,
what?
More layers
dumb,
of abstraction
easy.
Between you and the technology you're using, and that's scary.
You nailed it. That,
yes,
exactly right. Exactly right, Jolie. Now, there's an interesting thing in here. The kill switch, and John, you wrote a little bit about this kill switch. What is the kill switch? Let me find that article, and you can talk about it. By the way, new logo. What do you think of that?
It's idiotic.
It looks like the Norwegian flag minus the colors.
Actually,
what is
that's a good one. That's a good one. It's what it looks
story?
Like. It's the Norwegian flag.
What is the story?
Or the Swedish flag.
Swedish.
Yeah.
Swedish.
With the
Swedish.
Yellow, I think that'd be Swedish. Yeah.
So
I think the Norwegian... Let me look
it's
at
very simple. It's very clean.
It
it's not very
really
attractive.
It comes from this really famous design agency called Pentagon, and uh-huh. we did a bunch of research on it. And I can't for the life of me imagine the design process. And Windows or Microsoft or whoever must have thrown so much money at them. And I think it kind of came down to the wire. They ran out of pot, and they were like, okay, guys, I'm coming down. We've got
pot.
To think of something.
That's exactly what it pot. Is.
You know,
is it nailed
I don't know what the kids are doing these days.
Is it the Swedish or the Norwegian flag, John?
There's both of them have that. They're
both similar.
They all look very similar.
Yeah.
That's the Swedish flag.
It's
that,
boring.
Yeah.
It's boring. It looks like it invokes the original Windows logo from Windows 1.0. That's what it looks like.
That's kind of a sad statement.
Oh, so my theory is that every other version of Windows is going to be a piece of crap, and if you look
it's
at it...
It's been that way for a long time. 95 was good. 98 was pretty good. ME, terrible.
95,
then XP,
wait a minute.
Okay. Then Vista, terrible.
95 was good, 98 was good, so there wasn't one skip. That's not true. They actually pre-announced Windows 97 and could not release it. It counts.
Because it was so bad.
No, it was 98. They couldn't get it out the door.
Okay.
So there was a 97 that was a turkey,
okay.
and 98 came out was good, and then ME was bad, and
okay.
then 2000 was good.
You're skipping Windows. Yeah, Windows 2000.
2000 was good.
Was good.
Windows
right.
2000 to me.
So there does seem to be this TikTok cycle, and I think that people have observed this before. This is a well-known observation. Mm-hmm. So Windows 7 was very good. I think we all agree. It was the best Windows probably since 2000.
I've been happy with it.
It's wonderful.
I'm never happy.
I think it's wonderful. Yeah.
She's never happy.
Aaron, I just want to, you might want to make a little
sorry.
Pay
yeah.
attention.
Keep that in mind,
Aaron. He knows.
Just something to be
the,
aware of.
The 97, I didn't think Vista was that much of a turkey. It was just kind of...
It was a turkey. It was bloated. It was bloated. It was too big.
But you have it on big honking machines instead of these little diminutive machines. It's not a big deal.
The irony is 7 really is Vista, but stripped down and made fast. That's
right.
All, you know. So
sleek.
Tell us about the kill switch.
What about it?
What is it? What? I didn't even know about it. You discovered this.
Oh, yeah. No, this has been discovered by somebody else. Apparently, this has been floating around, this piece of information.
It lets Microsoft delete apps from your Windows?
If you buy them from the App Store.
Yeah.
Microsoft has a hook, supposedly, then they won't deny it. But the question that they really don't want to talk about is, can they just kill the OS? And which is the one that gets where I wrote the column. But they have a kill switch. Which kill switches are really cool because Google uses them.
Apple uses them. Every mobile device has
so
kill
Microsoft
switches.
Is putting it in so they can pull, because it could be a dangerous app and they don't want to do a big patch. know, Patch Tuesday. Just pull it, and so next thing you know, your app is missing. And that's just, you've already
signed
on.
Well, you'll be glad your app is missing because it's malware.
And I'm assuming they'll give you some kind of notification that, sorry, we pulled your app because it was going to hurt.
This is already happened.
Hope.
It's already happened on Android, and I don't know, but I bet you it's already happened on the iPhone.
On iOS.
It hasn't? Okay.
No, but they can do it. They have the capability.
They can do it, but they haven't done it for Apple. They have done it with Android.
Yeah. So when the question in my mind, where I wrote this column, PCMag.com, you can check it out. The question on my mind is, what if they decide to really get hardcore, which is a term that Microsoft really likes to use, about piracy of the OS and just kill it from a distance? They said, look, there's no doubt in our minds that this is a bootleg version. I know they don't want to do this just as a general policy because they're fearful that they're going to start, because they're so incompetent, by the way, in this level.
Oh, yeah.
They would kill a bunch of OSs that were legitimate and they'd get sued.
Remember the Windows Genuine Advantage program? And about 5%, they even admitted about 5% of all
was bogus.
Piracy messages were
bogus.
Were false positives.
Yeah. So there was.
So imagine 5% killing 5% of legitimate machine. You kill one legitimate machine, you got a lawsuit.
So they can, well, depends on the way the license is written. But whatever the case is, I believe they've got this thing rigged so they can do whatever they want. And who knows what, this could come in handy or not handy, or it could be a disaster. Who knows? But I believe there's a kill switch in there.
I think what this is symptomatic of is really that these desktop OSs are becoming mobile OSs. And all the features of mobile OSs are migrating to the desktop, including the kill switch.
Well, hold up. Didn't Microsoft, and I looked it up just a few months ago, Microsoft was deleting Chrome from users' PCs.
Really?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
That's nice.
Well, that didn't get out. It happened to around 3,000 people. And there was a Microsoft Security Essentials update, and for around 3,000 people, it zapped their Chrome. And then they threw fits, and then Microsoft was like,
If you've ever had your Chrome zapped.
I think it quarantined it.
Totally, didn't make that up.
Yeah, I think you're right.
This time.
It was a Security Essentials bug.
Mm-hmm.
Or a false positive. I think that, for instance, and I'm pretty sure, to correct me if I'm wrong, and the chat room will do that. They do it even when I'm not wrong. it looks like the memory management in this is also like a mobile app. You know, one of the constraints of a mobile platform is you have less memory, you have less CPU. So if an app, but you want to put in multitasking because, frankly, it's a bad idea, but consumers demand it. So what you do is you have a kind of aging process in which apps that are not used for a while just get killed. They're released. You don't ever have to quit an app on a smartphone, right, because they just release them. And I think, and I might be wrong, but I think I noticed that happening on my Windows 8. I had a camera.
That's correct.
It does do that, doesn't it?
Yes. And there's no, on a lot of the apps, on a lot of the Metro apps, there's no obvious
exit or quit
or kill switch.
It wasn't my imagination. So, okay.
Right. And so you simply move on to something else, and Windows itself handles when it gets turned off.
See, that's for Jennifer, too. She doesn't leave Windows open because she wants them. She leaves Windows open because she doesn't know
to click the little button in the corner.
No, she does, but that doesn't on a Mac. That doesn't even kill the program. It just closes a window. Unlike this is one thing
you
that Microsoft.
Click the black little circle, it kills.
No,
it.
This is one thing that Microsoft did differently than Apple, and I think Microsoft got it right. When you close the last window on an app on a Windows machine, it closes the app.
Yeah.
When you close the last window on an app on a Mac, nothing. It's the app still runs. And so she's got all these running apps.
Depending on the app. Some of them do close.
Some do. Most of the time the app.
But it's inconsistent.
Yeah.
It's inconsistent.
So I do think that the whole notion of quitting is going away. Notion of windowing is going away. I think apps are going to be more and more bought in app stores because it's more convenient. And, the only kind of app you can sell in the app store for Microsoft is a Metro app. So that means more and more apps will look like Metro apps. This is where we're going. It is a dumbing down, but I think that's an elitist thing to say.
No, it's not. It's an honest thing to say. It's dumbing down.
Well, it is, but I think it's making it easier, too.
Well, it's giving you less control over your programs.
True. You can't quit them.
No, you can't. And I don't know.
I can imagine a day when it would be difficult to get open source software that's not in an app store. Well, that's a very good point.
I still want access to.
For instance, in the Apple.
Corporate hooks all over.
In the Apple App Store, you can't put demos, you can't put betas, and you can't put open source because it would violate the open source license to put it in the App Store. So there is no open source in Apple's App Store. I would guess the same thing will be true in Microsoft's. Do you know anything about that, Dwight?
Good point.
Open source?
No, I don't. I don't think that they allow in the Microsoft App Store that they allow open source because of the issue of malware. I think that leaves it open to malware. They're not going to allow that.
So you're right. This
I don't
is
see
really
the link between open source and malware necessarily.
It's absolutely the opposite, in fact, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think if you
what
can look
I
at the
know?
Source code,
I'm
you can validate it.
Well, if you look at the source code, you can mess with it.
I don't know how to answer that. If I say you're not just a girl, that's like
you can't win. It's a non-win thing when she says it.
You're not a girl.
You're screwed.
Erin, I'm just warning you. I'm just telling you.
She's
too smart for us.
No,
I'm not saying that.
By the way, I consider this group, this little group here, the A-team of the Twitch show, because this is the only time where everybody writes about tech. We don't have broadcasters from, you know, who knows where.
I agree.
We don't have celebrities.
No celebrities. It's just real people talking about real stuff.
Who write about it. We're all writers.
The idea, except for me, I'm a talker.
Well, you're a writer, too.
I'm a talker.
Well, you're the host.
Yeah, so I know I'm not one of you.
Yeah, we should get rid of you. That show is really dynamite.
I'm the guy who reads the commercials. This show brought to you by Gazelle.com. You know, the new iPad 3 is coming.
Hold on a second. Are you doing the voice for the Cal basketball thing?
No. Does it sound like me?
Dead ringer.
One of our advertisers. I'm going to ask your advice, Mr. Dvorak. He's been my career advisor for a long time.
I've helped him. You can see he's been successful.
He's not joking. He's been a great help. One of our advertisers says, we want you to read our ads, but you don't have to say your name. It's not in the first person. We just want you to be voice talent.
Yeah.
But I think my voice is distinctive enough that that's an endorsement.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm total agreement.
Okay, good.
Except for this guy who sounds like you.
That's the problem, is that maybe it isn't distinct. Maybe I sound just like everybody else.
No, there is a voice. There are voice. You do have a distinctive voice.
But it's an announcer kind of.
But see, I was trying to pick up, but you have a little twangy thing that goes on that I can usually identify. Ah, Leo.
Little twangy.
Because even when you're
doing... little twangy.
And this guy never delivered it, but I know that you could probably hide it, and you could have been this guy.
I could. Oh, that's what I'll do. When I do these
a really
ads,
neutral... Oh, do the German voice.
I do it like this. I am from Hamburg. I have just won a T-shirt. Are you wearing the T-shirt? Is he wearing it? No?
No.
He's gone. He took the T-shirt
and left.
Well, I guess he's gone back to Hamburg. You know, if I have another T-shirt, I'm going to get it for the South Carolina lady. You win. Charleston.
She's from Charleston. They're one of the greatest cities in the world.
Is that where the Midnight Garden, the Midnight and Evil? That's Savannah. Charleston is not Savannah.
Charleston's the capital, right?
Charleston is the most
Columbia,
city
right.
in the United States.
Charleston, South Carolina? Not Charleston, North Carolina.
There is no Charleston, North Carolina.
Just checking.
There's West Virginia.
Oh, I'm thinking of Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte.
Charlotte.
I'm thinking of Charlotte.
Yeah.
I've been to Charlotte, but I have never been to Charleston, South Carolina.
You got to go to South Carolina.
I would like to go
very
much
state.
To Charleston.
And it's like a reverse carpetbagger thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to go down there. And
with a carpet.
With a carpet bag. Let me talk about Gazelle, because, you know, if you have an iPad 2, Tom Merritt asked me this. He said, what do you think? I know I'm buying the iPad 3. Should I Gazelle my iPad? I said yes, because every day you wait, it goes down in value. It might be a buck, might be 10 bucks. Why wait if you know you're getting an iPad 3? So this is one of the reasons Gazelle advertises a lot this week, is because they know that this is, you know, when the new iPhones come out and the new iPads come out, that's when they are the busiest, because people use Gazelle to finance their upgrade. And why not? Let me see. I'm just going to see what my iPad 2. I happen to have the big top of the line. Actually, mine's Verizon, 64 gig, 3G, and 370. Show my screen, because I'm that's how much that's worth. Now, here's the thing. That's, by the way, it could be worth a little bit more, because that's assuming some scratches or sign of wear. If it's in perfect condition, you even get more. What happens is you don't have to take your data off. You send it to a Gazelle. They pay the postage. In fact, get a box, because you're going to throw all your old gadgets. As long as you're doing this, get a bunch of gadgets, throw them in the box. They pay the postage. Their data experts remove your data. They're checking to make sure it matches the condition that you said. And then they will send you a check or a PayPal, but this is the one I recommend, the Amazon gift card. It's as good as cash. We all buy stuff on Amazon, right? And you get 5% more. If you want cash, you can have cash. If you have flawless, let's see what this goes to. $337. Okay. Even if it's broken, it's worth $83. What do you think they do with that one, though? I mean, that's... anyway, if it is really worthless, They will recycle it appropriately. They use green recycling, no landfill, no offshore shipping. Gazelle is fantastic. I just think this is such a great thing. Yeah, sure, you could probably put an ad in the paper or go to eBay and sell it yourself. I have a small dog that I've been wanting to get rid of for some time. And Gazelle. Ozzy says,
poor Ozzy.
Don't sell it. Gazelle it.
G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. No, I would never show this dog. I would only give him to Jolie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you promise to take good care of him.
I would.
How do you like dogs, Aaron?
He loves them.
He says he doesn't want it.
He loves dogs.
He doesn't
dogs.
Want you
yes,
to get
does.
A dog. No, he
a
says
bad
no pets.
Person.
You know, it's funny. We had a nun in here earlier in black and white, and she wanted to pose with a dog because he's dressed the same.
This is a terrible joke.
It's not a joke. It's actually true. Sister, am I not Frank? Frank will back me up. Frank was here also. Yeah. Sister Jody was here, and she posed with the dog because they're wearing the same outfit.
That's so cute.
G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, recycle the easy way. Don't sell it, Gazelle. It really is a great deal, and I just love them, and I know you will too, so give them a try today.
You almost lost your spot, John. The dog was saying some sassy things.
As soon as you left,
really
the dog jumped up
yes,
on your chair.
Yes, this dog and I have an issue.
Either that or he likes the smell of your bottom.
I don't think so. Well, he might. So, look at this.
That is a... Well, you don't have to tell
can
me
you
to
do
look
it?
At
come
it.
Come on.
You know what they call that? They call that CW.
A key. It's a key.
It's a Morse code.
You ever see the speed keys? Or you should got to click one of
paddle.
Those.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to learn Morse code? Because you're a ham. Many people don't know this, but John is a ham as well. Are you going to learn the Morse?
I think I should.
I think if there's a real
because
disaster...
Because if you're like in jail, you got to tap on the thing. You know?
That's, you know what, believe it or not... That's the example. When they say you should learn Morse code, they tell the story of some guy who was like stuck in a Spanish jail and there was a fire or something. They didn't know he was in there. Oh, no, maybe it was an earthquake. No, that's what it was. It was an earthquake. And he tapped out on the pipe and they found him. So
there
learn Morse code.
It. So now you're a prince. You're way ahead of me on this.
What's
you
this?
You got one of these?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But this one, what is this?
Amateur radio
check
emergency
this out.
Service.
This is the California Rescue Communications.
As you know, hams are very focused on emergency services.
Yeah. Like this? Can you get a shot of this?
Hams are very focused on emergency services, and we have a really great ham shack here. So we absolutely are participants in all of that. And if the world comes to an end, you and Adam should come here.
No problem.
This place is a bomb shelter. You didn't know that, but we have reinforced it incredibly.
I hope so. Yeah. It's brick.
All you have to do is get across the Golden Gate Bridge, which should be no problem at all.
Actually, you can go up and around, there's another bridge up there.
It's a long way to go.
So I could go out to Rio Vista and then all the way around the Delta. I'd probably take a barge. And then come over the other side, and then I can come down the black, whatever that thing is, out in the middle of nowheres, and then come up. I can make it. Take about 3 days.
Actually, after major disasters, those are the kinds of things that happen. I mean, people do have to do that. And we know there's going to be a bad earthquake sometime soon.
I've always told people.
Are you from California originally?
Well, more or less.
More or less. So you're ready for the bad earthquake.
Ready, yeah.
As ready as you can be.
Yeah, you can.
You know, every time I come on here, it gets so dark.
It's called nighttime?
No.
What do you mean it gets so dark?
If it's nighttime.
Oh,
it's
you mean we
o'clock.
Get emotionally
start
dark.
Talking about earthquakes and doom.
Is that true,
I
really?
I think the first time I came on, we started talking about someone who had just passed. Oh, it was Steve Jobs. Oh. Bless his heart. He had just
ooh,
passed, and I came on, and you opened with that, and I was like, well, this could only get better.
What's a big story in tech?
He did.
Terry
Case says,
I'm a natural pessimist.
Who says that?
This guy.
Like, I'm a natural pessimist. AT&T, all right. This
speaking of dark.
This pisses me off.
Yeah, the dark empire.
This is dark.
So AT&T promised, am I wrong, promised that they would continue to offer unlimited mobile bandwidth for people who purchased it with their original phones. And many of us, including I have it, are still on this plan of unlimited. And... first, they throttle. So we talked to this guy last week, Matt Spaccarelli, who sued him, got $850 in small claims court. We talked about it last week. So what's their response? All right, screw you. No more unlimited. They pulled
no, that's
the
not, take that's it, not, leave it. That's not what they said. That's not. Okay. The Wall Street Journal story kind of cast it probably not the right
way.
It
says AT&T. This is another bad headline from the journal. AT&T ends all you can eat. That's not what they did.
That's not what they did.
Because you can't.
What happened was AT&T had been throttling users who had fallen into the top 5% of data users.
Which doesn't take much. In fact, Matt had 1.5 gigabytes
a month. As more people use it, that level was coming down. So
right.
We started hearing from people who were hitting it at 2 gigabytes,
right,
which is less than the 3 gigabytes that they sell now for $30, same price you pay for that.
So that's
it's still
bad.
Unlimited, right. They argue, but it's like through a straw.
Right.
And
suck all you want.
And they
I
said
love this double box.
They said it was for network management, but... it's clearly trying to drive people to off of that to the tiered.
They
it's
don't want us.
It's passive-aggressive.
It's passive-aggressive. Very nice. That's exactly what it is.
And so what they've done now is they've gotten so much heat that they've essentially moved the bar up to 3 gigabytes, which is at parity with the $30, $30 tiered amount. So they take away the fairness issue.
Got
and
it.
People will not get there as quickly, so they won't have as much screaming. But it's still unlimited. But it is unlimited through a soda straw when you get past 3.
And we talked about this last week. I think you were here, John. There's ample evidence that that this kind of throttling does not help you with network congestion.
No, not at all.
So it I think it's pretty clear. I mean, the evidence is clear.
It's just mean-spirited.
It is.
It's, yeah. They're just bastards.
There you have it. And that's from Leo Laporte.
Bastards.
Well, okay. Anytime a company makes a decision that doesn't seem to make sense, we follow the money.
Well, of course there's money involved.
Well, if there is, they're going to have to ask people to pay more.
What makes a company a bastard is when they promise something to get your money and then decide...
You can't believe someone that you're giving your money to keep their promises.
You can only count on them to want more money.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a good
business.
Welcome
to America, man.
Welcome to America.
Yeah.
She says we're dark.
Yeah, really? What a negative attitude.
So Verizon...
My motto is, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Oh, that's bull crap.
Or say it in Morse code.
In Morse code.
All right, so Verizon
key it
does
in.
It right. Verizon does throttling right. They have the same policy. They have a top 5% policy, too. But what they do is they don't invoke it until you're actually at a network tower that is congested. They throttle you while you're connected to that or while it's congested, and then... when situation normalizes, your speed comes back, or if you move to a different tower.
That's a good idea.
That's how you manage your network, not the way AT&T is doing it.
So, but that makes perfect sense, and it's so straightforward.
Well, and it may be that with the way AT&T is doing it is technologically limited. In other words, they can't do what Verizon is doing. But what's interesting is that T-Mobile does almost the exact same thing AT&T does, but what they do is they say, we'll sell you 5 gigabytes, and when you get to 5 gigabytes, we won't charge you over, but we will throttle you. And they say that up front.
Right.
And it's different when you say it up front and say, okay, we're going to be cool about it. AT&T is kind of moving to the T-Mobile approach, where they're saying up front, at 3, you're throttled.
Now, what about this? I want to call you Angelina Jolie Odell.
Oh.
Where's your leg? Oh, she's beautiful. So,
get back to the subject.
What
ADD
was that
man.
With the leg?
ADD. Good Lord. All right.
So here's it. So this is to me. This is just pure greed. AT&T now says they're going to let some application providers pay for your bandwidth.
That's so smart.
So there will be this class of apps that you download that it doesn't use any of your bandwidth because Comcast pays for it or whoever.
That makes so much sense.
So they make, they're basically double dipping.
Or Zynga pays
double
for it.
Or Zynga or whatever. They're double dipping now.
Yeah.
Because they're getting, I'm paying them.
It's brilliant.
For free and open access to the internet. What a fool I was. Because now they're also charging companies to get to me, disadvantaging people like me because Twit's never going to be able to pay for your bandwidth. So you're going to – so true. if Adam Curry says, hey, Mevio will pay for your bandwidth, that's it for me. Bye-bye.
You know what they say? The rich get richer and the poor get feature phones.
Screwed.
Right. That
We're
too.
Getting feature phones.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's a good line. That's
So is this a net neutrality issue?
Yes.
I mean, is this a violation of net neutrality? Could you argue that to the FCC?
Oh, argue it. It couldn't be more clear that if you decide to pay for the bandwidth for your customers, you'll get preferred access, won't you, in effect? And don't you think AT&T will feature you? Customers are certainly going to be aware of this. If I have a choice between, let's say, Netflix streaming video that uses my bandwidth and Amazon streaming video that doesn't, what am I going to use? I'm going to use Amazon, right? That's what net neutrality is all about, that everybody should have free and equal access to customers.
So has the, the Federal Communications Commission or the FTC or whomever looked into this proposed practice?
The FCC... Public knowledge is saying it's going to be tough to challenge the plan under the net neutrality rules because basically AT&T has been so creative in the phrasing that the FCC says declined to comment, according to the Wall Street Journal. Mm. But they have been clever, in effect, because am I wrong? Does this not seem like a net neutrality issue?
It seems like they're giving certain businesses a competitive advantage of some kind that seems a little bit unfair to other businesses that can't pay that much money.
This has happened before. I didn't know this, but MetroPCS did this with YouTube.
Did they?
Huh.
Last year, MetroPCS offered unlimited YouTube usage if you got a smartphone plan. They stopped doing that.
Did they stop because of the FCC, or did they stop because it cost them?
And was Google paying them for that?
Somebody said, a spokesman, I guess, from YouTube said that they never paid MetroPCS to subsidize.
Okay. So MetroPCS was just doing it as a promotion.
It's a good promotion.
They weren't getting subsidized.
Right.
Okay, so I think...
Does that make a difference?
I would think so. I think that this is something regulators would have to take a look at.
Yeah. I hope
Call
they do.
Naive.
It's comp... Yeah, you're obviously a pie-eyed optimist. ComScore, I'm in the Comcast state of mind. ComScore says 50% of local mobile searching is now happening in apps. This is why mobile is such an important platform. Consumers now look for local businesses on their phone, on apps. They don't go to their computer. 49% of smartphone and tablet owners are using apps to find local information. Makes sense. It's probably not even a surprise.
Totally.
But it just shows you the... You're mocking me, aren't you?
No.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
So does this mean that they're primarily using, like, the Google Maps app, or are they talking about things like
Yelp.
Where and Yelp?
Where,
and
sure, all of the above. Mm-hmm. But now you see why Google is so big on local and mobile, why Facebook wants to get into this business, why Apple's being very clever about how they who they support on their phones and so forth. Lou MM has just signaled you with some dots and dashes. I hope you can read that.
I can, as a matter of fact.
Yes, it's a good way to encrypt.
You have another.
He needs
story
to escape from the prison.
Yeah,
you have another story on your list, Leo, about smartphones. That they're now in the U.S. that more than half of people have smartphones. That they've kind of hit the tipping point and gone over. So if you look at that in combination with searching on apps, it becomes an even bigger market.
It's growing really fast. In fact, this was a survey from the Pew, what do they call it?
The Pew Internet.
They have a name.
American Life.
Right,
yeah.
Roger.
Sure.
They interviewed 2,253 adults. As of February, 46% said they had smartphones versus 41% with feature phones. And that's grown 11% in the last month. I think that's obviously a trend. What it does show, I mean, because these are not getting any cheaper. You're making a commitment to spend $1,000 a year if you buy a smartphone, right?
Oh, no, I think smartphones are getting cheaper.
Are they?
Yes. Yes.
Plans going down?
No. Data plans are the same across the board, but you can buy a feature phone. The hardware itself is getting cheaper and cheaper.
You could buy a $50 3GS,
absolutely,
for instance, but you're still going to be into AT&T for $80 or $90 a month.
But you can get other plans on other carriers. MetroPCS, for example, has smartphones. I'm just saying.
You know, I hear they have free YouTube.
People who aren't buying AT&T iPhones, there's a wide.
Maybe that's
options.
It. So maybe that's why, because there are more low-cost options.
Of course. Yeah. I think that, and if I may say this without being an Android fangirl, I think that Android and the, you call it fragmentation, I call it choice,
yes,
of the Android ecosystem has made this possible. You wouldn't be seeing numbers like this if it weren't for
I
that.
Think you're absolutely right. Because Apple's not going to do that. Although no. 3GS is $50.
Well, they don't want to be accessible.
What's the name of your Android book? It's an app book.
Android Photography.
Photography, yeah. Yes, I am a big fan of this note.
Now, this is the note.
Really?
Right?
This is a
Don't
stunning
you feel
revelation.
Like an Uber trying to make a phone call with that thing?
Oh, I love it.
Do you feel like you didn't answer her question? Let's go. Let's reiterate.
I
Here,
never
hold it up
feel like
to your
a
head
goober.
I never feel like a goober. Do I look like a goober?
Don't ask me to
Hello,
that.
Mom.
Hello, Angelina
Maybe
Jolie.
Maybe if you had the tiny dog, yes. Yes.
See, my dog is tiny, but my phone is big, and my heart is huge.
As the show deteriorates like on the spot. Too,
and I think it's a good choice for
What do you use, Dwight? Are you using a note?
I'm using an iPhone, but I reviewed a note and I really liked it. I think it should be Android 4.0, and I think they made a big mistake in not releasing. I think all Android phones should be 4.0 at this point.
Well, you said yourself, Leo, that you didn't like 4.0.
I don't. I prefer it. But this will go 4.0 in a couple of months. Dwight, you're going to want, and this was announced at Mobile World Congress, the HTC One. This
yes,
is
cool.
Very sweet. So quad core. It's kind of amazing now.
What do you need quad core
and phone
for?
Now, this isn't quite as big, but it's big. It's 4.7 inches. So it's the biggest phone after the Note.
So how big?
4.7.
Huh.
The Note is 5.3, and something like the Galaxy S2 on Sprint is 4.6. So it's, 4.3, right?
On AT&T, it's 4.3.
4.3 and 4.6 on the Sprint one. So 4.7 is big. It's full HD. It's 220. What is it? It's anyway. It's full HD.
Be 1920 by 1080.
Yes, thank you. No, it's not.
Well, then it's not full HD.
What is it?
Well, you got your specs tab right.
Let's look. Yes, it is 720p. It's 1280 by 720. So it's
all right,
HD.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, this is the same as this, but it's in this. It's so, and it's that means it's a Retina display, by the way. It is.
You know, Panasonic did studies on this, and when it comes to looking at an HD movie, they say unless the screen size is bigger than 50 inches,
I know,
you cannot see the difference from a distance from 720 to 1080.
I completely agree. Apple even said that, and watch, on Wednesday, Apple's going to all of a sudden say...
Say something else.
1080p is beautiful on a 9-inch screen.
It's much better.
So this is Android 4.0. It's ice cream sandwich. I think this is going to be a very... It's interesting, because HTC has been kind of lagging behind. I think they're going to make a big jump forward with this.
I think the battery life will probably last about an hour if you're trying to watch.
Well, that's the question. You get
on
the
quad core, on a quad core, yeah, on LTE true, with a screen that size, yeah, battery life is going to be awful.
Quad core what, ARM?
Yeah.
Ours won't be quad
core. They can probably shut down the cores for the most
AT&T
part.
AT&T will be dual core. Yeah. But there will be a quad core version
what
available.
Is the
the thing about getting a bigger phone is you do get better battery life because you have more space for battery. So this Note, for instance, has very good battery life. So we'll see. This is going to be a very exciting phone. Samsung did not announce their Galaxy S3, which surprises me.
That is correct. But the rumor is April.
That's going to be another. You're going to see Android again outpace the iPhone. By several laps. I mean, the iPhone, by coming out once a year, Apple's really starting to miss the boat on innovation a little bit.
Well, also, they have one hardware manufacturing and
That's
design
it.
Team.
Right.
And you only have one group of ideas. I think when you have more ideas, some of them tend to be better.
There's a lot of cross-pollination.
Yeah.
In the, you really like my dog.
Look at this dog.
And the dog likes her.
Dog.
Very sweet
oh.
dog.
Look how sweet this dog is with me over here.
Was that you?
No, it was a dog.
Your lips didn't even move.
The dog is interesting.
At first I thought, it can't be John. I'm looking straight at him. It must be Dwight, but Dwight wouldn't do that.
No, I would never do that.
Oh, puppy.
I'm a cat person.
Houston's Apple store is opening March 16th. That's what you said.
Yeah, I hadn't been
So that would make sense that would be the release
date. What's
day.
The deal with the Apple store in Palo Alto? When's that going to open?
They have a new one, don't they? That's a different store.
Yeah, they're closing
it's kind
the old
of a
one.
Magic Apple store.
Oh, they're closing the old one in Palo
Yeah, they're closing
Alto?
The old one and opening a new one.
And this one, yeah, and this one's going to be the, this is going
to
be.
Well, this is supposed to be a huger.
An experimental store, though, right?
Yes, yeah.
The
they
one,
go
the
in
one
and
building.
They drug you the minute you go in. They club you.
Right. Okay, so far nothing new. What else?
And then they start yelling at you about how great Apple is.
Oh, that is new.
I thought that happened
last time. So the one here in Houston is going to be all glass. Glass front, glass back, and a glass roof in Texas in August with 105 degrees. I'm really looking forward to see how that works.
Well, where do they put the little girls' room?
It's about a mile from the Galleria store, which was the first one that opened here. And it's in a shopping center that is notorious for having traffic problems and congestion.
I think Jolie hit the thing. That the real the real attraction is going to be the women's restroom. All glass. Get it? Joke.
I got it.
All right.
Wish
Thank
it didn't.
You for selling that one.
I tried.
You did a good
it
job.
Was funny.
Was it a story that Apple had 25 billion downloads this week of apps?
No.
Onward.
I don't love stat stories.
Somebody, we don't know who, got $10,000 worth of apps. For being the 20th.
Second prize was $20,000 worth of apps.
Wait, a consumer.
Yeah, so whoever bought
$10,000 worth of
apps.
That's
a lot of apps.
You could also spend it on music. So,
okay.
There you go.
A $10,000 gift card.
You end up buying a lot of crap music and a lot of terrible apps.
Wow.
I think just the Beatles.
You think
box
they could have given some money?
Yeah, there you go.
In 2009, the billionth app was downloaded by a 13-year-old Connor McCauley. He nabbed a $10,000 iTunes gift card along with an iPod Touch, MacBook Pro, and a time capsule. They're getting cheap now. They're only doing a $10,000 gift card. We don't know yet who had the 25th billion download.
Next.
You know, the only thing that was funny about it is like, well, how would you win this contest? Would you like just keep buying apps?
It's like they have these teams in Vegas, you know, with these machines. And they bring the team in at the last minute when they know the thing should hit. It's like there's usually they hog all the machines on those, you know, progressive slot machines, and they start pounding them, and then somebody wins and they all split it. Look it up. You can look it on Google. I thought that was fascinating.
Apple is now, I think they changed this policy, but maybe this is still the case, blocking books that link to Amazon. Seth Godin.
They just don't want anything. They don't want programs inside of programs.
Yeah, he wrote a book called Stop Stealing Dreams.
And Stop Stealing My Book.
And and it has links within the book to Amazon. And as a result, Apple says, we're not going to sell it. Sorry. I mean, they have the right to do that. You can't say censorship, but it is a little. Come on.
It's a little petty.
And the problem is if you let that one person chew gum.
Everybody will chew gum.
And then the next thing you know, every app's going to have links outside of the Apple's
environment. God forbid. What a horrible world that would be.
It would.
Mm. I see trees of gum. People walking in the street.
I'm going to write a new song right now as we speak called What a Horrible World It Would Be. What do you think?
I think you're gone to something. I'm encouraging it.
Bad people doing bad things, companies making money.
Talking about
and me. I say to myself, what a crappy world.
I think making money is the cue.
For an ad? No, or do you have to pee?
No, I just got to.
With the glass bathrooms down the street.
I'm just wanted to check in on the Cal Stanford basketball game. They're losing.
Please, go right ahead. I will be
like
my guest
disaster.
While I talk about audible.com.
Oh, and this is my favorite company.
It is a great company.
They're fantastic. They did what they should have done.
Which is?
Do what they did.
That's what they should have done. No, I agree. It's interesting because I was an Audible subscriber back in 2000. It was kind of new. They didn't have a lot of stuff. And what they were really missing was sci-fi. I was very disappointed. And they had no Stephen King. They had like one Stephen King book. But I listened because I was a big book on tape listener. And it was a lot more convenient than a box of cassettes. And man, I mean, talk about transformation. 100,000 books now, every Stephen King book, including the new one that just came out. They've just released the number one download right now is an old Stephen King book, which has never been available in audio. I downloaded it. The Stand is out on audio. 46 hours and 56 minutes. 47 hours and 56 minutes. What a great book. And Grover Gardner's reading it. Just some really wonderful stuff at audible.com. I have to send you there right now. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to set you up with a platinum account. That's two books a month. Your first month is free. Your first two books are free. Cancel them anytime. Pay nothing. You do that at audible.com/twit2. Some of the longer books are two credits. So you can get a big book or you can get a couple of little books. I think The Stand is just one credit.
How about the Lorax? Have you seen that yet? I want to see this. I'm a big Dr. Seuss fan. It was his 108th birthday 2 days ago on Friday. So they got kids' books. And I mentioned they didn't have a lot of sci-fi when I joined. Man, they turned that around. And they did it with in a way that I really admire. They created an Audible Frontiers program and started recording them themselves. They realized that a lot of sci-fi, especially early sci-fi, you know, it was pulp publishers. They weren't going to get audiobooks. So they're just going to have to do it themselves. And so there's 198 Doctor Who titles alone on Audible.com. Holy moly. Classic sci-fi, 422 classic sci-fi novels, including a new edition of George Orwell's 1984, just in time. The Moon is a Harsh Mistress by Robert Heinlein. That was a great book. 1,259 contemporary titles in sci-fi. I just finished this one, 11-22-63, the Stephen King book. What a great book that was. Craig Wasson does an amazing job narrating that. Right now I'm reading Clash of Kings because, of course, the Game of Thrones miniseries is coming back. And all of the Game of Thrones books are on here for The Song of Ice and Fire. And I really, on something like this, I like to read the book first. So I'm almost through with that, just in time for HBO's returning to the air. 37 hours on that one. So look, there's a lot of good choices in here. I encourage you to give it a try. Audible books play back on almost any device. They've got a great Android app. That's what I use to listen. Your whole library, anything you've ever purchased from Audible is on that app. You download it and listen. It's just fantastic. They have an iPhone app as well. They're also available, on, of course, on your desktop. Even like GPS devices, Kindles, if they have audio capabilities, they can play Audible books. Audible.com/twit2. Give it a try. I think you will like it. Do you listen to audiobooks, Jolie?
Me? No, I read books.
You're a reader. You like paper? Do you buy hardcover books?
I do. Yeah. I buy them from Amazon, but then I read them in hardcover.
Yeah. What are you reading right now? What do you like?
Well, right now I'm reading Baratunde Thurston's book, How to Be Black.
How to Be Black. That's on Audible.
And it's funny.
He narrates
it. He does. Shut up.
Okay. Shut up.
Because I would listen to Baratunde talk about anything.
Oh, and he's good. Well, let me play a little bit of this. I apologize, Baratunde. Why am I not plugging your book for crying out loud?
Okay. I love it when the authors themselves read their own books. That's the best.
It's good when some authors do.
Yeah, I wouldn't say generally.
Some authors are not good readers.
I've been lucky, I guess. But, for example, you got to read Tina Fey doing Bossy Pants.
Oh, fantastic.
Know? Yes.
Fantastic. And there's a book. I can't remember. We do make so many Audible recommendations that are kind of blurred. Here's Baratunde reading How to Be Black.
That the table of American opportunity could be satisfied either through a comprehensive program of economic and political empowerment.
Don't you just smile when you hear his voice?
By extending the buying season for postage stamps featuring noteworthy Black Americans by a factor of 4. Since the establishment of Black History Month.
It's funny because here's a guy, he could be angry, right? I mean, this is, you know, he's talking, it's political. And he's such a sweetheart. You just feel you smile.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, this is his humor. I think his humor is his way of getting. I've seen him do very angry and impassioned activist type videos when things are really, a little too far gone to be funny.
He's great.
But he is one of the funniest dudes in the world. Love Baratunde.
Anytime he's out here, we have him on the show. Have you been on the show with him?
No, I have not.
Next time he's here.
Okay.
I'll dump this guy and we'll get Baratunde.
Hey,
you cannot.
All right, John and Baratunde. How about that for a big shoot?
That would make for a good tickle fight, sir.
Should we do the week ahead?
All right. Teaser. All right. Let's see what's coming up. Tom Merritt and TNT, we have a great new show.
Is Tom here?
No. John, why do you always do it? Every Monday through Friday, 2:30. Actually, we now start at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Tech news today. Let's see what Tom will be covering in the week ahead.
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a lot of stuff that's happening in the week ahead. We'll be keeping an eye on Tech News Today. Monday, March 5th, the Game Developers Conference kicks off in San Francisco. Tuesday, March 6th, CeBIT kicks off in Hanover, Germany. Mass Effect 3 comes out. And Pandora has their earnings call with their brand spanking new IPO'd stock. Wednesday, March 7th, Apple has some kind of announcement. Tablet? TV? Who knows? The GeekWire Summit takes place in Seattle. And the Launch Festival happens in San Francisco. Friday, March 9th, South by Southwest Interactive kicks off in Austin. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
Do you have any questions for Tom?
No, screw him. Turns out that the guy's never here.
What do you mean?
One time I asked every week I'm too busy, and then now
you know this is this. I'm just essentially being set up week after week.
What?
And when the by the way, when the worm turns on this deal, you guys are gonna be sorry.
It'll be at the bottom of a bottle of tequila.
Just making fun of me.
Thank you, Tom. Eric came all the way up here just to mock you.
And I did have a question.
Yeah. Yes.
But I forgot what it was.
I tell you, I have to feel for anybody who planned an event.
This is why you,
on March 7th.
This is why you made a fuss about me saying he's not here to get me in the mindset to set me up with this bogus situation.
You are so paranoid.
Huh.
I don't feel bogus.
It's bogative. Bogative is the new word.
But don't you feel bad for anybody who said, oh, March 7th, that'll be a great day. We'll do the launch festival or whatever.
Yeah. I think, like, Y Combinator, aren't they also doing their demo days on the 7th?
Demo days. There's a number of product announcements. Yeah. And it's like...
Well, not everyone cares about Apple. Not everyone is invited.
But you're not going to get
some
any bit of the news cycle.
Sick of hearing about
no, I understand. We are.
Everyone's going to get
it. We are, but you're never going to get a bit of the news cycle. That is owned by Apple for that entire day.
Not necessarily.
No?
Yeah, there are many... Many people. I would even say the majority of people don't care about
how many inches of VentureBeat will be devoted to an iPad 3.
Several.
Yes, I would say so.
I don't know. We don't do inches. We do pixels.
Inches.
And boy, in pixels, several.
Several pixels. This story, I don't know what to make of this from VentureBeat. Maybe you can help us out, Jolie. Ben Popper writing, Apple's tough talk backfires in negotiations for new streaming TV service.
You know, if when it comes to content and internet smart TV, Apple can talk as tough as they want to. The content providers still will love them more than Google because they are on the opposite side of the table from Google when it comes to things like piracy and SOPA. And Apple is still their best friend in the tech world thanks to, you know, their early work on iTunes getting people to pay for digital music in the form of MP3s. And that's my two cents about that.
The New York Post says Apple will or hopes to launch its streaming TV service, a Netflix-style, I guess, TV service by Christmas. But the problem is that they're really throwing their weight around. Apple's negotiating stance, according to the Post, is we decide the price. We decide what content. The media executives are coming out of these meetings pissed, and that's how come there's a story about this. They want everything for nothing, says another media executive. Echoing similar tense negotiations Apple has had in the past.
Apple he's is starting to look a little like Steve Jobs in some odd way.
I think he may be.
Maybe
he does. There is a little something. It's the short cropped gray hair.
These people are used to holding all the chips when they're talking to media or digital media types. When they're talking to Hulu, when they're talking to Roku, when they're talking to Netflix, they're the big guys in the room. Apple is equally used to being the big guys in the room, so I'm not surprised that everyone's leaving these negotiations pissed and feeling like they're not going to get what they want.
You have to.
It's all posturing anyway.
It really is.
You have to kiss Brian.
Using the media.
You have to kiss Brian Roberts' ass if you want Comcast to come along for the ride. He's used to everybody kissing the ring. But Apple is also used to everybody kissing the ring. It's basically, you know, two titans fighting. Apple's trying to get cable operators to work with it to improve their accessibility and the look of video services. You got to admit, the cable guides, the cable DVRs are awful. They're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And of course Apple's trying to improve these things.
Now wait, when they say they're trying to improve it, does that mean they're trying to get more cable network content onto streaming?
No, they want them to dump the cable boxes and ship sleek Apple devices in their place.
Well, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Never.
This is a quote from the Post. They want to create the interface, and they want to work with the cable guys to manage the bandwidth. They'd like that right across the TV and broadband pipeline. Instead, cable executives pretty much shut the door, preferring to keep Apple at a safe distance from the lucrative $150 billion pay TV business. They're trying to protect it, of course.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So Comcast is launching its own streaming service, right?
Mm-hmm. Is it like HBO Go? I just sat down this week and talked to the Roku CEO, so I'm all on fire about what's going on with the cable industry.
Yeah, I've been wanting to meet with that guy, and
he has a great story. He just is a wonderful fellow to talk to. You should talk with him.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to go down
there.
I agree.
They're smart.
Well, this, yeah.
Well, they're normal. They realize that normal people will pay $50 for a box that they can get shows on. They won't pay for an Apple TV.
I've got Comcast. I've got On Demand. And they've got this new thing, Stream Picks. And it's just exactly like Amazon streaming. In fact, it's pretty much all. They all have the same movies. Netflix, Amazon streaming.
Is it pay-per-view or a subscription?
It's a subscription. So I go and they put it in the VOD. And you go and you click it. Oh, I want to watch that movie. It says, no, you have to subscribe. And I just think that you're already giving this much money to Comcast. And they now come back and say, oh, yeah, that'll be more.
Well, that's what HBO Go is. It's, oh, yeah, you can play this content on your internet TV
if you've got
a
Comcast account.
If you subscribe to HBO, which is stinking. But it's not as bad as what it was a couple years ago. And it's not as good as it's going to be a few years from now. But we're in pain because we're evolving. So
March 1st, Google's new privacy policy launched.
Yeah.
And the world came to an end.
Sure did.
Not.
I turned off my web history, and that was all there was to that.
So I don't even want to start this conversation. I'm just going to say it, and you can all yell at me and tell me I'm full of it.
Okay, you're full of it.
Thank you.
Bull crap.
Good. We can just move on.
You have an obscure opinion about this?
Well, I think it's a contrarian opinion about it. I think Google, their new policy mainly said, look, we've got all these services. We've got YouTube, Google Docs, Gmail, Picasa. We've got a bunch of stuff you guys are using. In the past, we haven't aggregated data from all those services. Starting March 1st, we're gonna. Here's the privacy policy. Please, we beg of you, read the damn privacy policy. See what we do with our stuff. And if you don't like it, opt out. They give you an opt out. In fact, more than that, they give you a dashboard. Here's what they say they're going to do. We use the information we collect from all of our services to provide, maintain, and improve them. Makes sense. To develop new services. Makes sense. I'm not sure what to protect Google and our users means, but I think that's a backhanded way of saying, and if law enforcement asks, we'll give it to them.
Yeah, and they do.
Yeah.
But they have to. This is America.
By law, they have to.
This is America. Everyone must turn their information to the police.
It's the law. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the sentence that matters. We also use this information to offer you tailored content. Like giving you more relevant search results and ads. That's
more
it.
More relevant. That's a nice way of putting it.
Targeted ads and targeted search and search results with social. That's it.
It's accurate. It's accurate. Well, if you turn off the web, I don't know if you've noticed, Jolie, after you've turned off your web history, but when you type something in Google and you get the suggested web things, it won't be as accurate. One of the things it does here is if I search for Dolce Vita, there's a restaurant here called Dolce Vita, and one of the first things that pop up is Dolce Vita Houston. If I turn off the web history and I unplug from my connection, I don't get that type of
perfectly
information.
Fair. We don't collect the data. You don't get the better search result. But they give you the option. They give you google.com/dashboard. They show you everything they know.
Right.
Yeah. They give you a button to delete it. This is eminently fair.
And we've had this conversation before, too. How much a month do you pay for Google Web Search and Gmail and YouTube?
Nothing.
Exactly. Someone has to pay for it. It's the advertisers who need the data. And, okay, here's my question, and this is not, I'm not yelling at anybody. It's an honest question. I bristle at the idea that people are looking at my information, but I'm using all these services for free. I've put the information out there. What really happens to me when this data is used in an aggregated, anonymized form? How does it actually hurt me, other than ideologically?
It's purely ideological or paranoid, as far as I can tell, because all it's doing is giving you targeted ads, which presumably you'd prefer to see than ads that have nothing to do with anything you're interested in.
I think most people tune out ads anyhow.
Right. Most people,
there's some question whether targeted ads work any better than regular ads. But if that's what they want
to... I think it's bogus. I think this whole thing about Google has been... Another column, you can check it out. I think this thing was just a lot of publicity about, oh, Google this, Google that, oh, let's complain about Google. And all the while, Google has a subtext message that, yeah, we're getting all this cool information and data about people behind their backs.
So they make more money?
Yeah.
And they really don't know shit.
Yeah. It's just a convince.
Well, that's brilliant. I think, hold up though, y'all, because we had another story on the sheet about, oh, how Google Plus is doing so poorly.
Guess who this is from, by the way.
Oh, I don't care.
It's the Wall Street Journal, which has been slamming Google from day one.
God bless them. Look, I sit across the table from these people, and I know what they're doing. They are unifying all of Google, the privacy policies, the social experiences, all of it, to make it more lucrative for them. Google Plus is only part of that. The privacy policy is part of that. And why is it so hard for people to realize that Google Plus isn't a social network and privacy policies have nothing to do with your personal information? Google is making their money.
And really, I mean, I think Google's doing less with the information than Facebook is. Facebook, in fact, does sell aggregated information to
I think Google would like to be able to do more with the information, but first they have to collate it from all their different web services. Hence Google Plus, hence the privacy.
You know, I'm not buying any of this because all I know is you look up something like, you know, you need to get a microphone stand. And for the next 6 months, you're getting ads from microphone stands.
Which aren't, you already bought it.
You either bought it or you gave up or it was an accident.
Right.
But beside the point, they don't know anything. They just know that I looked for a microphone stand once. So let's just, Amazon's worse.
When you go to the grocery store, you get coupons based on what you buy and what people who bought what you bought will buy.
Yes.
You know, in addition to that. For example, if you buy tampons and cat food and romance novels, not say anything about my life. But then, you know, and if enough people do that and you go and buy cat food, they'll give you a coupon for tampons.
You know,
what's wrong with that? You might want that.
Here's one interesting thing. I talked to one of the guys. This was like 15 years ago. I talked to one of the guys who invented that little thing that used to kick out a coupon. Mm-hmm. Now they print them on the back of the. But he says they first sold Coke on the idea. So anyone walking through buying Pepsi
would get a
Coke thing. And then they took that over to Pepsi. He says, look what we're doing for Coke. Now, if anyone buys Coke, we'll give them a coupon for Pepsi. So he's like playing both sides of the fence. He thought it was hilarious.
So really, what your position is, and I think you're actually right for a change, your position is that Google.
Cheap laugh.
I go for every one of them. What Google's really doing is trying to cover up the fact that these targeted ads, in fact, are useless. They're no better off than anybody else. And so the whole thing is really a smokescreen.
Stop saying that or we're going to have another .com type bust. All right?
Well, we're going to have one anyway.
These advertisers need to believe that ads are effective.
All we have to do is put a Deadpool out there. I guarantee within the next 2 or 3 years, this baby's going to keep my job.
But I will tell you that we don't need to use targeting. All we do is we have very narrow focus with our content.
Well, you're different because
ads are targeted. Yeah,
and you have a different model than the typical website.
And I know it works, or we wouldn't have these advertisers.
When all hell breaks loose,
I'll be here with
here with less shows.
And Angelina Jolie Odell. So this is the one guy who has the right to sue. He was he's a guy in France who was suing Google for taking a picture of him peeing in his garden.
Oh, yeah, I love this story.
It's your story.
Well, there are so many stories like this. Yes.
It's a valuable public resource, I say. And I say it's great to know if this guy's peeing in his yard and you have to visit him, you should know to stay on the stone step so you don't have to worry about stepping and pee. It's valuable information.
The Google Street View car was going by at the very moment he was relieving himself in his garden.
He can't go into the backyard?
His face was blurred.
But they blurred his face, but they showed him peeing.
The town he lives in is small, so according to his lawyer, he became an objet de ridicule.
Okay.
Apparently he's been righted, as it were.
He's been outed.
By his neighbors give him crap.
You are peeing.
Hey, you are peeing in the yard.
I saw you on the Google.
I'm not buying your grapes.
Oh, I'm not eating your vegetables anymore either. No, thank you for the zucchini. 25 anonymous members arrested internationally. The hacker group retaliates by attempting to bring down sites and then giving up and going home.
You know, one of our hacker writers was at RSA, the security conference this week, where she heard and agreed with the idea that these guys shouldn't be arrested. They should be hired and rehabilitated.
There we go.
What do you think of that?
I think it's a terrible idea.
Really? To hire a hacker?
No, in fact, that's what happens. That's why you become a hacker, because you're trying to get a job in security.
No.
That's a good job,
right,
usually.
No.
I think that's you, Leo.
I think it just fits me somehow.
Kevin.
Well, then didn't Anonymous declare war on the United States?
Yes, they're going to bring the internet down at the end of the month.
Yeah,
I shouldn't mock them because we're easier to bring down than the internet.
You'll be down for a week. Wondering, you'll be getting phone calls from your advertisers saying, "Hey, Leo, you know, are you still there?
I'm with you, men. I'm with you, gentlemen. Okay, just saying, I'm wearing the mask."
You should do one of these videos where they electronic your voice and make some kind of vague threats out of Petaluma.
Petaluma.
The water infrastructure at Petaluma will be turned off from Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. I have spoken.
So this is any idiot.
Can buy one of these on Amazon, by the way, for $1.50 and make a video. So that's the point, is if you're anonymous, how do they know who you are?
Because you're anonymous.
You're anonymous.
That's right.
It was nice knowing you, Leo, says half the chat room.
Last time I did this, we got hacked, I admit.
Yeah.
Let's see. Defense Department wants more control over the internet. Okay, I'm moving on. Here's a good one from Jolie Odell.
I wrote something this week.
How Roku is kicking the cable industry's buttocks.
Yes. Roku, I put that in the headline. That was my
big
deal.
We all love Roku.
That's a big deal.
I peaked too soon, really. But no, yeah, so as I said,
got butt in the headline.
Yep. I got my kicks. So, no, yeah, I did sit down with the Roku CEO. Lovely guy. We talked
What's his name?
Anthony Wood.
Is that him?
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing suspenders?
He wasn't when I spoke with him, but he does, I assume.
What happened when you were speaking to him?
I found out after the interview that this was his thing.
I'm sorry.
Well, a smile and an outfit that didn't include suspenders. So, you know, we talked about his favorite shows and how his family watches TV.
You look like Zorro.
I look pretty good.
That's a good hat for you.
Yeah.
A pilgrim with a short hat. Anyway, what is Roku's plan? Because ultimately...
You know, she has a story to tell.
I'm asking her a question.
Well, I told it in 2020 words, I think. I did enough telling.
That long?
I mean, I look at Netflix, for instance, which is really going to be challenged going forward. Because the movie industry wants to kill them. Everybody wants to kill them.
Oh, I don't think they want to kill them. I think they want to use them to continue making money in an era of rampant piracy and rapidly changing consumption patterns.
So the movie industry likes them, but Comcast wants to kill them. Amazon wants to kill them.
Well, Amazon wants to compete with them, sure. I don't think Comcast wants to kill them because, get this, Comcast makes a higher profit margin by selling you internet service
that
you use more of when you use Netflix than they make from cable. Oh,
what?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, man. Totally.
Mm-hmm. See, that's something
because,
I didn't...
Because, look, for all the content on cable, they have to pay for licensing that. The boxes, they pay for most of the hardware and kind of sell it at cost. They make the most money from internet.
So they should, one of them, why are they
they are coming
putting
to the
caps
table.
On?
They what? Are coming to the table slowly because they're elderly.
I'm just going to be there in a minute.
You're, by the way, Jolie, you're the only person on this panel who can say that word.
Well, the elderly.
You can teach the dog to talk.
You are with the elderly right now.
Speak for yourself.
The institution is a little bit more entrenched and incumbent, and it's harder for them to say, oh, yeah, sure, man, we'll get with the times. We'll be groovy like that. So it's all changing. It's changing not as slowly as we like to complain. But I think, you know, some of those pain points that were there when we started digitizing music are there when we're digitizing film and television.
Actually, if you think about it, Roku is best situated.
They
don't care what the content is. They just provide you, basically, their business is we connect your TV to the internet.
Their business, I found out, is rev sharing with the content creators.
Right.
They're
giving
like
the content creators access.
Channels. Yeah. Yeah, and it's working really well for everybody. What they're focusing on next is smart TVs and how to create Roku smart TV packages.
See, that's the challenge because I have this Samsung TV in here. Now, mm-hmm. if I have that or a Blu-ray player, I don't really need... Roku, right? Because I already am connected to the internet, and all new TVs will be connected.
Roku's product is better than the smart TV on Samsung or any of the others. I mean, it's easier.
I agree.
To use.
Samsung
it's
is
friendlier.
Very,
it's more reliable. I don't know about yours, but my smart TV, you know, drops connection and sometimes doesn't have its can't find the router.
Yep.
And Roku though, you have to think about all the people who don't have smart TVs. And who will pay $50 for a tiny little box.
I agree, but more and more.
And someone in the chat room was saying, you know, what about people who have feature TVs? Well, these are the poor people with the dumb TVs. They can just
the feature phone set.
Yeah.
Hook up a Roku.
Yeah.
No, I love Roku. I've been recommending Roku for years. This is an interesting website.
In fact, you gave away some Rokus as gifts some years back.
2 years ago, we gave every host, you got one, every host a Roku when we started putting a tweet on Rokus. By the way, we have now taken over the HLS stream for the Roku, the Twit app on the Roku. We got
Houdini 7 in our chat room, Craig Mullaney, to rewrite the Roku app. It's fantastic. And we have our own stream that we pay for now. So I think our live stream on Roku is, in fact, the best Twit experience there is on the big screen. It's really fantastic. Look at this. This is a third-party database, roku-channels.com, of Roku, of things you can do on Roku that you never knew. There are a ton of, you said, what, 4,000? There are
400.
400. Yeah. This has 654 pages of private channels, so it's far more. There are all sorts of weird things on here.
Did I say
where'd you
Playboy
get this?
Justin TV?
Playboy.
Playboy
Justin.
Oh, up.
Justin, he's a 17-year-old in Des Moines, Iowa. He's going to show him something
this
to
is
us.
A great, if you have a Roku, this roku-channels.com, because some of these you have to know the magic keyword or whatever. There is
what is
400,
this? What page
this is this is Roku-channels, like a third party.
And some of them are free, some of them are private.
Some of them are private.
Some of them are premium.
Yep.
So they stream.
All of this you can get via going into, there's channel 596, the sex channel, free.
Free sex channel?
Yeah.
Let's check it out.
I wish I had a Roku.
What could go wrong?
So these are all on Roku. People don't know about them. Roku does not publish these in their channel store. You have to know the magic code to get there. I've got, on this list, 654 channels. Is that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
And I bet your suspender guy didn't tell you about that.
He wasn't wearing the... No, he didn't. He didn't.
She didn't go back.
I think it's very interesting that Roku's supporting all of these. I mean, you go through Roku to do this. I think you're right. This is there is something going on here. And I don't know if you know what
there's
it is.
There's something going
on? Do you,
on?
Mr. Jones?
Oh.
Yahoo started its first season of scripted comedy programming.
Am I reading correctly that this is a program about breast pumps?
It must be the new CEO. Yeah, yucking it up on Yahoo.
Oh, there's nothing funnier than breast pumps.
Oh,
Ashley Prather and Ricky Lindholm. It was created by Lindsay Crystal. It's everybody's going to do this. Unfortunately, it looks like Yahoo's doing as bad a job with this as they do with everything else.
You know, there's a lot of these independent little 7-8 minute programs.
Right.
There's like, I don't know, dozens of them, all produced in Hollywood by professionals who just don't happen to be working right now.
Right. Yep.
And some of the stuff is quite credible. And very good. Very
I
good.
Love The Guild. The Guild is one of my favorite things to watch on my computer. I mean,
who
that's
doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Yeah, Felicia Day is going to be a guest on Game On a couple of weeks, I think, from now. Yeah.
If you see her, will you tell her I love her?
Oh, I tell her that. I said, every time I see her, I said, Jolie loves you.
Does she ever say anything back?
She loves you, too.
Oh,
no,
good.
She's great, isn't she?
Okay. She really
she's an
is
inspiration.
Wonderful. So talented.
Yeah.
There are quite a few stars that are doing these little 7 and 8
absolutely.
Minutes. Mary Lynn Ratscombe, the woman who played Chloe on 24, has her own show.
The
so
thing is, I think people don't understand
well-produced.
That when you work in Hollywood, there's a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
You work for
and you
a few
have
months.
The skill set to produce high-quality professional stuff, even though it's on the internet.
And the truth is, you know, you're making enough money, you probably don't need to work in that downtime. That, you know, but it's something that they do and it's
most
fun.
Most of them don't make that
lot
much
of them
money.
Do. A lot of them need to do it, but a lot of them don't.
Yeah. Well.
And it's just fun, and it's a different...
Yeah.
I've talked to a few people who are in that, you know, okay, I do the big screen, and now I'm going to do the internet screen. And they have so much more fun, and it's a completely different structure, and it all happens so fast, and they really love the change of pace.
I think it's... we're in a brave new world.
Well, you know, people also like to work.
What's with breast pumps, though? I don't understand.
Well, it's funny. It's a ha-ha subject.
Yeah. I find it less than humorous.
I do agree. But that's because
you've used maybe we're not the target audience. Cranky
what?
People.
I want to thank Mr. John. I said that's because
you've used
one. Are we
done?
We're done.
Wow.
I run through the entire
I thought you
list.
Only did three commercials. You didn't do the fourth.
We don't do four.
Huh?
We are not greedy, contrary to what some would say about capitalist enterprises. I do not go for the gold. I go for the silver.
Well, the Cal Berkeley Bears lost.
Did they? I'm sorry.
They'll still be in the NCAA tournament, but now they won't
I'm
be the
sorry.
Top
you know,
seed.
It was a great... I know how much the Cal Bears mean to you, and I really appreciate it. I'm being sincere here. It was a great sacrifice to be here, so I thank you for doing that.
What is a sacrifice?
Normally, they play on Saturday, though, right? That's why you can normally be here. Isn't college football on Saturday?
This is a basketball, not football.
Okay, never mind. I'm sorry, I'm not following.
Neil LaPorte sports show. We won't see any this week in sports.
Okay, so this is basketball.
On this network.
Is basketball on Sundays?
You know, they bounce a ball and they shoot into a hole.
Dribbling, yeah. I know all about it. I've been doing it for years. So this is basketball all the time?
Yeah, 20. So every day of the year, all year round, is basketball.
Because I understood feels college like it. Football.
And it's
was
pronounced
easy.
Bagaball.
Bagaball. It was easy with college football because it was Saturdays. But now this is confusing. So it's all. So we it's going to be hit or miss whether we can get you in here.
You don't want me coming? Is that
By
what
way,
you're saying?
Brian Wilson called. He wants his shirt back.
What are you doing? Material? What is this?
John C. Dvorak. Channel Dvorak.
And don't forget the No Agenda show. We haven't been able to plug it for weeks on end.
Every Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, about 5 p.m., right around the cocktail hour.
Just go to noagendashow.com and you'll have it figured out.
Yeah,
Dvorak.org/blog, channeldvorak.com. Boom.
Boom.
You can catch up with all my stuff.
He is a master of the new media, which is funny because when we first started doing podcasting, I think you didn't really think that this was going anywhere. But boy, you realized and you jumped on that bandwagon.
I've decided to take your cue.
Yeah. You realize this is the future.
Yeah, well, it is the future. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, just ask Felicia Day. Thank
and
you,
you can't, you know, you got all these cameras and you got people and there's an audience and people come dragging their asses
so
from Germany
we get people,
and South Carolina.
From all over
it's
the
unbelievable.
World. Charleston, South Carolina, Germany. Where else?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Jinx, owe you a Coke. And it's not a Pepsi.
And I get a coupon.
Jolie
though.
Odell, you've won our floor prize. His
the
name
doggy.
Is Ozzy, and he's had his shots.
You need shots, yes.
Him. Yeah. He seems to get along quite well with you and Veronica.
Well, he fell asleep on
the
my
dog.
Is
a, the dog, he's the dead out. He's like out like, oh, she, no,
he's actually, he's a Papillon, and they were bred by Marie Antoinette to do exactly what they're doing right now.
Be a lap dogs, a true lap dog.
No. Yep. And he would fit in my bicycle basket.
Yeah, don't you think?
Can you see that? Imagine seeing that.
And your little dog, too. Let's thank Angelina Jolie. I'm sorry, Jolie Odell. VentureBeat.com. I'm sure she's never heard that. Thank you so much. It's great to have you. Really appreciate it. Congratulations on the engagement.
Thank you very much.
Oh, and Ozzy's happy, too. Yeah. Oh.
That's why do people sweet. Talk like that to dogs?
I don't know, because dogs understand.
Dogs
I wouldn't
hear...
say that, oh, hi, John, poopy poo.
Like... Actually, no, it doesn't matter what you say to a dog. It all sounds the same.
There's something to that. I think people just like to talk baby talk for no good reason.
You're such a good doggy.
You're such a good,
you're such a good doggy.
Thank you, too, for joining us. We really appreciate it. From the Houston Chronicle blog, .cron.com/techblog.
Let's get him out here.
Mr. Dwight Silverman.
You know, I need to get out
there. You were out here for the iPad launch. In right. January 2010.
Right.
And you haven't been out since.
I think I was out there.
Yeah, I know. So can we get you? I mean, there's one coming up Wednesday. Why don't you just get the Kron to fly you out?
Yeah, I've been telling them that, and they laugh maniacally. And then,
don't you
away.
Know the newspaper business is dying?
Right, exactly.
Who's going to run the presses if you leave?
And then the other media show I do, you know, is for a Pacifica station, Technology Bites, on Wednesday nights, and it's Pacifica, so they're not going to pay me to fly out.
Pacifica?
There.
You work for Pacifica? Oh, that's good.
It doesn't work for
them.
But
here, for Pacifica.
Yeah, that's what it's actually. I've been on the show. You know what? You should get John on too. It's a great show. It's really fun.
I think it's a different audience for me. I could go for it.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah.
They don't talk politics. They talk computers.
Yeah. Well, but this guy have a left-wing angle.
I don't think so.
It's a progressive station. It's actually, very well notorious.
Fact, some of the more strident members of the KPFT family complain that we're not strident enough. But we're, you know, technology is kind of politically.
Pull out some old Berkeley barbs.
Yeah. Right,
you know, I don't know if people know this, but John was very involved in the free speech movement. He and Mario Savio were like that. That's a very obscure freaking reference. But you were in Berkeley in 1965.
Is that right?
I believe so.
Huh.
Is that right?
I don't remember any of it.
It's really, that's a good sign that you were there. Thank you all for being here. We do Twit every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, twit.tv. Do watch live because we cut out all the good stuff before we put it out on the internet. But if you miss it, you can, in fact, watch or listen on the internet at twit.tv or on iTunes or wherever better podcasts are distributed. TNT all week long for tech news at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. And don't forget, we are going to do special coverage of the iPad 3 launch this Wednesday, March 7th. We start at 9:30 a.m. Pacific, 12:30 Eastern. Sarah Lane, Tom Merritt, and I think Alex Lindsay will be there. Jason Snell will be reporting from the event right after the event. We hope to get in with him if they have a test room to see the new one and all of that. We thank you all for being here. We hope you come back next week. We wouldn't want to do this without you. Another Twit is in the can. Thanks.
Ow! This is amazing.